Singapore Prime Minister Lawrence Wong and Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim have been holding their leaders' retreat here in Singapore. They're reviewing joint projects and deepening cooperation across a wide range of sectors. Let's take you live now to their media briefing.
Baru-Singapore Rapid Transit System Link Bilateral Agreement. The ministers will now exchange the documents. Thank you, Excellencies. May I invite His Excellency Datuk Seri Saifuddin Nasution Ismail, Minister of Home Affairs of Malaysia, and Mr. K. Shanmugam, Coordinating Minister for National Security of Singapore and Minister for Home Affairs of Singapore, to exchange the MOU on cooperation in the fight against illicit trafficking of narcotic drugs, psychotropic substances, their analogues, and precursor chemicals. Thank you, Excellencies. May I invite His Excellency Dato' Seri Utama Mohamed Hassan, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Malaysia, and Dr. Vivian Balakrishnan, Minister for Foreign Affairs of Singapore, to exchange the MOU on cooperation in health. Thank you, Excellencies. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of the exchange ceremony and will now commence the joint press conference. May I invite Prime Minister Lawrence Wong to deliver his remarks, please.
Prime Minister Anwar, Excellencies and distinguished guests, I'm very pleased to welcome Prime Minister Anwar and his delegation back to Singapore. This is our second leaders' retreat together, and it's taking place in a milestone year when both our countries mark the 60th anniversary of diplomatic ties. Of course, aside from the leaders' retreat, Prime Minister Anwar and I have met many times, both bilaterally and on the sidelines of multilateral forums. I always value the engagements with him and our personal friendship because we are able to have candid and constructive discussions, and we both focus on what we can achieve together as close neighbors, good friends, and for the benefit of both our peoples. And in that spirit, we've continued to strengthen our people-to-people and cultural ties. We've just exchanged MOUs on health cooperation and the fight against drugs, which will enable us to learn from one another in these areas of interest and strengthen the resilience of our societies. We have stepped up exchanges between our officials, including education and cultural exchanges. Last year, we had a successful joint inscription of the Kebaya on the UNESCO representative list of intangible cultural heritage of humanity, with this together with our ASEAN neighbours. And this year, we are putting up a joint nomination for Chingay. I'm also very happy that Malaysia has formally agreed to Singapore's proposal to open consulates in Sabah and Sarawak. This will allow Singapore to provide consular services to Singaporeans there and deepen the already robust ties between our peoples. Importantly, this year, we made very good progress on the Johor-Singapore Special Economic Zone. Singapore-based companies have committed over $5.5 billion in investments in the Johor-Singapore Special Economic Zone since January 2024. So we welcome the ratification of the SEZ agreement, and there is tremendous potential for this to grow further. We have only just begun. The potential is much greater going forward, especially with improved transport connectivity. And this will happen with the completion of the RTS link. We have signed a supplementary agreement to the RTS link bilateral agreement. This will facilitate preparations for co-located CIQ facilities and the eventual operationalization of the RTS. Our officials are also discussing reciprocal improvements to the cross-border taxi scheme. And this is with a common goal of providing more convenient options to our commuters. Both sides have introduced initiatives like QR code customs clearance and automated lanes to reduce congestion at our land checkpoints. And on our end, Singapore is redeveloping Woodlands Checkpoint to expand its capacity to improve efficiency and the traveller experience. There has also been good momentum in our energy partnership. EMA recently awarded the conditional approval for a proposal to import low-carbon electricity from Sarawak to Singapore. And we are planning to expand the capacity for cross-border electricity trade between Malaysia and Singapore through a second electricity interconnector. These projects will bring us closer to a low-carbon future, create more opportunities, and support the development of the ASEAN power grid. PM Anwar also discussed outstanding, and I discussed outstanding bilateral issues, which include airspace, water, and maritime delimitation. These are long-standing issues, and let me briefly recap what they are about. On airspace, it's about the arrangements for air traffic management to meet the current and future needs of both countries, especially with the growing air traffic in our region. This means that KLIA and Senai in Malaysia and Changi and Seletar airports in Singapore will have to operate safely and efficiently in line with ICAO requirements. And we are, officials are discussing how best this can be done. On water, it's not a pressing issue, but we both have a shared interest to increase the yield and safeguard the water quality of the Johor River. We want to do this to guard against potential extreme weather changes or disruption scenarios that may happen so that we can be assured of a resilient supply of water to meet the growing needs in Johor and also to meet Singapore's needs as provided for under the 1962 agreement. And we have also opened on both sides without prejudice to one another's positions to having discussions on the price of raw and treated water. On maritime boundary delimitations, this is about setting the boundaries on both the east and west. Officials on both sides have had several rounds of discussions. They have had a better understanding of one another's positions, but they will still need time to resolve them. All of these outstanding bilateral issues are complex issues. There are differences in views, and they are not easy to resolve. But as good neighbours, we will continue engaging in good faith. And Prime Minister Anwar and I have therefore guided our officials to continue the discussions in a constructive spirit and with mutual respect. And we look forward to working with Malaysia to achieve positive and durable outcomes with a balance of benefits for both sides. And even as we continue these discussions, we will ensure that we maintain the positive tenor of our overall relationship and do not allow these issues to colour or undermine our overall cooperation. As fellow founding members of ASEAN, Singapore and Malaysia will also join hands to uphold ASEAN centrality, which is the cornerstone of regional peace and prosperity. Malaysia has just very successfully chaired ASEAN this year through Prime Minister Anwar's strong leadership. We will build on that to advance regional integration and keep our external partners engaged. To conclude, both Malaysia and Singapore should be proud of what we have accomplished these past 60 years, both bilaterally and in our region. I am grateful for Prime Minister Anwar's friendship, leadership and support, and I'm glad to find in him a partner who is equally committed to ensuring that our ties continue to flourish for many more years to come. In one of our early meetings, Prime Minister Anwar said that Malaysia and Singapore should be role models for the rest of the world on how good neighbours should work together. I'm fully committed to upholding that same vision, and I look forward to working closely together with him and his team to further strengthen our partnership and uplift the citizens of both our countries. Thank you.
Thank you, Prime Minister. May I now invite His Excellency Dato' Seri Anwar bin Ibrahim to deliver his remarks, please.
Terima kasih Perdana Menteri Lawrence Wong dan perwakilan. As you notice, the strength of delegation from Deputy Prime Minister to Premier and Chief Ministers and Ministers reflect our not only our friendship, our enhanced bilateral relations and commitment. And this will continue because other than our meetings, the bilateral meetings between ministers have continued, and they've helped us immensely in terms of coming to a final resolution to some of these outstanding issues. But may I also thank you, Prime Minister Lawrence, for the hospitality. It may be a short working visit, but it's very substantive. You didn't allow me even to have a few minutes break. But I do enjoy this very much because the meeting has been very cordial. We have shown such a friendship after a series of meetings. You mentioned this official working visits, but beyond that, almost at every opportunity in any multilateral engagements, make it a point to update issues, to show concern about the welfare of our people and the progress made in some of these decisions, earlier decisions. Now, you have raised the issue of FIR, and we acknowledge the need to accept the fact that we need such a flow to Changi and Seletar, in as much as that we need a flow to the east, particularly Sabah and Sarawak. And as I've alerted you, Prime Minister, we have more flights into that region as compared to the earlier strength when we initially discussed this in the last many decades. But so the parameters are laid down. We're quite clear on that. So we need to just to ensure that whatever arrangement should not frustrate the free movements. And if we accept that principle, I think we can move ahead with more certainty. Similarly, on the issue of energy, as you know, you have been very supportive of the ASEAN Power Grid with Petro-Vietnam, Petronas, and Singapore. And now we are also embarking in an aggressive manner. There's a supply of gas, which is in abundance from Sarawak for Peninsula Malaya and Singapore. I've given two steps today by Prime Minister Lawrence Wong, and I told him I'm sure Singapore can do a bit more after that. Now, on the economic partnership, on a more serious note, I'm, of course, very pleased. And I've said this, Foreign Minister is aware that most of my encounters, my counterpart in other countries, in international forums, I've always made it a point to mention the spectacular example and success, not only a matter of economic arrangement, but it could only happen in terms of the Johor Singapore Special Economic Zone because of the trust and the friendship. And I don't think this should be ignored or underestimated. This is, I repeat, unprecedented. And we have seen the initial results, which is startling, which, of course, benefits Singapore, but more so in Malaysia. And I've said, due to this economic zone, for the first time in our history, Singapore has registered a phenomenal growth in terms of investments, surpassing my state, Penang. Johor. And I have no complaints about it.
Johor,
I'm sorry.
Johor.
Phenomenal increase in Johor that surpassed Penang because I'm too upset about Penang. Now, connectivity I've referred to in terms of energy, but also investments, and we are open to encourage more investments from Singapore. And Malaysia is a trading nation, as you know, and with all these uncertainties, it is critical. They will enhance this sort of a trade between countries and within ASEAN. And that is why this showcase of this economic zone can be a good example how countries can work together for the benefit of both the economies and the people. The maritime boundary, I concede, is more complex. But if we have a clear commitment to try and resolve, I'm sure we should progress beyond just recognizing it's a problem, a complex problem. And my position is clear. I've told Prime Minister Lawrence, to my colleagues in the cabinet, and also the officials, we must work towards an amicable resolution, even if it is not in full, at least progress in part. There are, of course, other issues that we have discussed extensively, the regional issues, trade issues, but I think generally we are on the same page. And I am, of course, extremely delighted to be here and be able to discuss very candidly and frankly with Prime Minister Lawrence and joined by the cabinet members. And we should see, other than the formal meetings, more exchanges, more interaction. Because for the two countries, we have, of course, a unique sort of relationship. We can choose to just ask questions about some problem in the past, or we can choose to ensure that this sort of unique relationship would favorably and ultimately strengthen not only diplomatic relations, but more so economic, trade, cultural, and educational, as you have shown such a goodwill in terms of sending your volunteer teachers to Malaysia. So, terima kasih sekali lagi.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prime Ministers. We will now take questions from members of the media. May I just remind members of the media to state your name before you pose your questions. So for the first question, may I invite Singapore's Channel News Asia.
Good afternoon, Prime Minister. Afifa from CNA. PMs, you both have spoken about the warm, candid ties and also the strong working relationship between the two governments. But when it comes to dealing with the more complex, long-standing issues, airspace, maritime boundaries, water, what specifically has changed in the way that you've guided your teams in terms of approaching these matters? And is there a timeline for any sort of resolution for these? Thank you.
The long-standing issues are long-standing for a reason. They are complex. There are differences in views. And therefore, we have to continue engaging one another. What's important is how we go about that engagement. And we do so in a constructive spirit, with mutual respect, trying to understand one another's positions. We try to resolve these issues in accordance with international law and to achieve durable and mutually beneficial outcomes. Not always easy to do that, but we can continue to make progress. For example, on airspace, as you heard just now from Prime Minister Anwar, we had a very fruitful discussion today, recognizing that airspace management is not about sovereignty. It's about air management services for both countries and to meet the current and future needs of our respective airports. In Malaysia's case, KLIA and Senai. In Singapore's case, Changi and Seletar. And it's about recognizing that in the new environment where air traffic volumes have gone up, especially for Malaysia between east-west traffic, then we will have to look at how best to optimize the air traffic management services. And we are both sides committed to doing this through a joint study. And that's what we have settled, the principles, the parameters, and we are moving forward. Not completely resolved yet, but moving forward in a spirit of, in a constructive approach, in a spirit of working together and trying to find win-win solutions. So it's in that same spirit that which we will engage with the other outstanding matters. It's not so much to say we have to resolve all this by a certain timeline. We have to be realistic. But so long as we continue engaging one another, making progress, and importantly, even if we cannot resolve the issues completely, we do not allow them to color or to undermine the rest of our relationship. We can still cooperate in other areas, like the SEZ, which we are working together on. So that's the approach we have been taking, and that's, I think, a very good approach for two close countries, close friends, close neighbors to work together in a positive manner.
Yeah. There are differences, of course, but there's no hostility. And we don't take action, neither Singapore nor Malaysia, to frustrate these movements. What needs to be agreed upon is to facilitate that process and at least to have some clarity so this will not create issues in the future. So I think you should at least compliment the present efforts in that direction. I'm not suggesting necessarily that it was never done. This has been the position in the past. But at least for now, for the first time, we have got the parameters clear. What is required by Singapore was required by Malaysia. And let us find out the solution where both would be able to resolve or benefit from this. To function effectively both in the air services and also the maritime.
May we have the next questions, please, from Bernama.
Hi, I'm Mahasna. So with the RTS link is said to ease congestion but not completely replace causeway traffic, how is Malaysia coordinating long-term border infrastructure planning with Singapore? Are there discussions on future-proofing the causeway or exploring additional links to support rising mobility and economic integration? Thank you.
You're the host.
But she had asked Malaysia the question. But I'm prepared to answer from Singapore's perspective, too. We are continuing our collaboration, particularly in terms of facilitating the very high volume of traffic on both sides of the causeway. The RTS will be a tremendous asset here. So we already have signed an agreement. We are working towards completion of the RTS link. I no doubt it will be a major game changer. Of course, the traffic will flow beyond just using the rail. There will be other forms of traffic demands, including taxis and buses. So we know that demand for cross-border taxis have been going up, for example. And it's been so, the increase has been so significant that the taxi companies have not been able to meet that demand, and you've ended up with illegal services coming up to meet those demands. And I think that's something we can resolve. That's why both transport ministries have been discussing to enhance the cross-border taxi services, the legal ones, so that we can have more services, more options to benefit commuters on both sides. And the officials and ministers have been making good progress on that discussion, and I'm sure they will be able to provide some updates soon. That's one example. Buses is yet another way to provide more linkages, and that too the officials are discussing. So whether it's through rail, car or bus, different kinds of commuting options, we will facilitate, we will provide more options, more convenience. And on the Singapore end, we are making a major upgrade to the Woodlands checkpoint. I shared this with Singaporeans recently, our upgrading plans, and the significant upgrade that we are doing will again be helpful to facilitate the flow of commuters across both sides of the causeway.
Thank you. It's answered on my behalf. I mean, I concur fully. On the Malaysian side, okay, RTS is a major development. The flow of traffic would be horrendous, huge. So the need to, of course, to improve the infrastructure within Johor Bahru and its hinterland too, which we are now working at. And the rest, of course, we have, we understand the requirement for Woodlands and the ICQ. Oh, we're just working the last piece of the arrangements so that Singapore can proceed fast, because it would benefit Singapore and, of course, Malaysia too. But we are open to new suggestions, but we're working seriously on that, because issue dispersal is a major issue even in Johor or Singapore, or generally in Johor and the mainland. And we'll have to probably accelerate that process. Thank you.
May we have the third question, please, from Lianhe Zaobao.
Hi, it's Yu Feng from Lianhe Zaobao. My questions are on the long-standing issues as well. The first one would be on water supply. There has been incidents of water pollution in Johor, and we also know that new technologies like data centres are heavily reliant on water supply. So how are both countries seeking to manage these further strains and challenges on the water supply? The second one, PM Wong, you touched upon this, on cross-border transport, including taxis, e-hailing. You mentioned that there's a good progress on negotiation. Can both countries share what are some of the primary concerns to be resolved before a final agreement can be reached? Thank you.
On water, I mentioned just now there is some shared interest. It's not an immediate pressing issue because we've got good rainfall in the this past year, recent years. So no pressing immediate issues, but we know that demand is growing. Demand in Johor for water is growing with the industries and the investments that it is attracting. And importantly, we know that when extreme weather changes can happen. It has happened in the past. We can have dry spells, for example. We could also have disruption scenarios that may not be completely anticipated. So in light of those longer-term considerations, both sides, the officials on both sides have been meeting to see if there are possibilities for collaboration, especially to do more new infrastructure that will strengthen the resilience of water supply with benefits for both Johor and also for Singapore under our 1962 water agreement. So that's where it stands now. Officials have been discussing, and both Prime Minister Anwar and I will continue to encourage the officials to meet regularly and put up concrete proposals for collaboration when they are ready. On the second question of cross-border taxi, this is an area where there is a lot of common ground. This is not one of those outstanding bilateral issues that will take years and years to resolve. There's a lot of common ground because demand is going up. People want to have travel cross-border, and the present services are not able to cope with the rising demand. So it's quite a straightforward matter of expanding the scope of today's cross-border services so that there will be more options for commuters. But there are details, of course, that need to be worked out. The transport ministers have been meeting. They just updated us, in fact, just now on the discussions. Looks like there have been very good progress, and I'm sure commuters on both sides will look forward to the updates in due course.
Thank you. I think in terms of the first issue on the effectiveness of our communications and that level of trust, water is no longer a contentious issue as far as Malaysia is concerned, and in Johor particularly. Yes, the treated water from Johor, from Singapore, which originates from Johor, but the requirements in Johor is also huge. So any discussion in terms of the price mechanism that we initiated in the past would be more complex, because it would also affect a negative impact upon the consumers in Johor. So that matter is not being deliberated at length. But what's important is the Singapore proposal to initiate some discussions on the possible investments into some infrastructure, either in terms of the water capacity and volume, and also in terms of those affected by the pollution, to make sure the level of capacity and also the quality water. So I think that's an issue that we, the federal government and Johor, should look at it clearly. And I have also expressed my readiness to, you know, positively look at it, because it is interesting to note the fact that the capacity and volume of water in Singapore, in Johor, will of course have an impact on Singapore. So it is understandable that Singapore should place some concern or interest into investing for the benefit of Johorians and the Singaporeans. And the rest on terms of the transportation issues, I think, is not contentious issues at all. It's something that the ministries can work out to facilitate the flow, the increased flow of traffic between Singapore and Johor.
May we have the final question, please, from TV3 Malaysia.
Assalamualaikum, Datuk Seri. Good evening, Minister Wong. So both parties said that you all have mutual areas of interest that has been discussed, which include health cooperation and the fight against drugs. In the matter of drugs, Singapore maintains the capital punishment, and a number of Malaysians has been, you know, hanged. So was this among the issues discussed? Maybe, you know, you would consider it our Dato' Seri and PM.
It was not a matter that was raised or discussed during our meetings, but Singapore's strong and tough stance against drugs is very clear. We have maintained that position for a very long time. There is strong support for Singaporeans for that position too. It's a position we take because we really want to ensure that Singaporeans can grow up in an environment where we are free from drugs and where parents and families and children would never be subject to the fears and the problems that are associated with drugs. That's the approach we have taken, and that's the approach that Singapore will continue to take. So if it has not resulted in bilateral issues, it was not raised, but we hope that all countries understand why, the rationale for our strong stance, and respect the way in which we go about conducting our policies on this front.
The drug menace is a problem, even in Malaysia. We have traditionally taken a very strong stance, although we have amended the issue of a mandatory death sentence. But if the case is taken up through due process in Singapore, legal process, I mean, of course, the right of families to appeal, I'm not questioned about it, for compassion or whatever. But then for a government, Malaysian government, we do recognize the importance of taking very tough stance against drug menace, because it has created unbearable hardship and difficulties for many of our people. So that's why even if we need to raise basic compassion on some related issues, we must recognize the fact that the due process has been respected here. You have followed the, you know, due legal process and the right to for defense. And once it is decided by the courts, we as a country respect that. Now, I'm not suggesting, therefore, that families cannot appeal, but it cannot be turned into a major or any political issue or differences. If at all, I have not raised. If at all I raise, it's purely a matter of representing the concerns of the families. But no way should I give any indication that we are tolerating or condoning drug trade or related issues, because we all too take very strong stance at it. Many countries have appealed to us, even they are even now outstanding issues in Malaysia, where foreign governments have appealed against the preferred charge and possible conviction of their personnel. But that is why I truly understand and appreciate the tougher stance on the part of the Singapore government.
Thank you, Prime Ministers. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of the joint press conference. But before that, may I invite both PMs to take a final photo? Prime Ministers may take their leave.
And we have just heard from the Prime Ministers of Singapore and Malaysia at their joint news conference for the Singapore-Malaysia Leaders Retreat. Singapore will open consulates in the Malaysian states of Sabah and Sarawak, deepening ties between the two neighboring countries. And this is among a raft of announcements made at the Leaders Retreat as both sides mark 60 years of diplomatic ties. Singapore Prime Minister Lawrence Wong and his Malaysian counterpart Anwar Ibrahim also firmed up cooperation on energy, education and the fight against drugs.
We've continued to strengthen our people-to-people and cultural ties. We've just exchanged MOUs on health cooperation and the fight against drugs, which will enable us to learn from one another in these areas of interest and strengthen the resilience of our societies. We have stepped up exchanges between our officials, including education and cultural exchanges.
And both leaders have noted the good progress made on the Johor-Singapore Special Economic Zone, especially with improved transport connectivity with the upcoming Rapid Transit System, or RTS. They signed a supplementary deal to the RTS Link bilateral agreement, which will facilitate preparations for co-located custom facilities and the eventual operationalization of the RTS Link. Reciprocal improvements to the cross-border taxi scheme are also on the agenda.
We are open to encourage more investments from Singapore and Malaysia is a trading nation, as you know. And with all these uncertainties, it is critical that we enhance this sort of trade between countries and within ASEAN. And that is why this showcase of this economic zone can be a good example how countries can work together for the benefit of both the economies and the people.
Other bilateral issues were also tabled for discussions, including airspace, water and maritime delimitation. The leaders recognize that these are complex issues that are not easy to resolve, but both sides say they will continue engaging in good faith. And ahead on Asia Now, we'll talk about rescue efforts continuing in flood-ravaged Indonesia as workers battle tough conditions to reach cut-off communities.